Hi everybody, and welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. Today we have an interview episode for you, and it's somebody whom I don't know very well actually, so we're gonna get to know her together on the podcast. Welcome, Kimberly. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Hi, Kirsty. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, it's gonna be great to find out a bit more about you. I know a little bit from LinkedIn and from your newsletters. But I'm looking forward to finding out more today. So maybe you could just start by telling us something about who you are and what you do, and then we'll get into the other questions.
Yes. Well, my name is Kimberly Martinez, and I work as an English and Spanish translator. I mostly translate for law offices, hospitals, and school districts, helping them connect with Spanish-speaking clients. And I've been doing this for 10 years now, and I love what I do. And I also like to share tips and resources online to help other translators grow their businesses, because I know it's not easy to find clients or promote your services online as a freelancer. So that's why I'm excited to be here and share a little bit about my journey and what has worked for me so far.
Yeah, and I like the way you do it. It's in a very approachable and relatable way. You don't make it sound like something that no one can achieve. It's not like super complicated. It's something that, things that we can all do, tips we can all take on board. And I like that because it's human, it's real. It's good.
Yes, I try to share actionable tips that everyone can use. So,
Yeah. And so how about so I don't mean your whole kind of professional story, but the idea of languages and working with languages, where did that interest start for you? Were you a child who grew up bilingually, or were you just really interested in learning languages, or
Well, it's a funny story because I studied marine biology in my country.
oh, wow, okay.
I'm from Venezuela, but when I moved to California, I didn't know what to do because I didn't have any job offers in the biology field. But then I met my partner who has a business background, and he taught me how to start a business using the skills I'm good at. And one of the things that I was passionate about was translation. I was really good, or I am really good with grammar, research, details, and I also completed several translation certificates here in the States. So it was a no-brainer. I had to do something with translation. And that's how everything started. We then moved from California to Utah, and now I am basically running a translation business full-time, helping clients every day with English and Spanish projects.
Okay, so you found something that you love, that you were interested in, and then you made it into your business. And do you think that was good to have somebody who had the like some business knowledge beforehand? Like for people
Oh,
who don't
yeah.
have that, how can they, what would you say? Do you think, because when I started my business in 2012, I really struggled to find resources. I think the problem now is that there are lots of resources, but it's hard to find the good ones. Yeah, because there's some that are really expensive, but they're not very good. And it's more like resource overwhelm for new businesses, I feel. So how do you think it's, what would be a good way for someone to find useful resources?
Well, as you said, right now there is a lot of information online. You can go to LinkedIn and you can find so many things. And but the thing is, like as you said, it's hard to find valuable information. So I usually just I try to filter what I read. I try to be very specific on everything that I'm reading on what or watching online. So I would suggest to do that if you're new to the translation or if you're a business owner in general, try to filter what when you go to social media or in any place online, try to filter what you read and try to be more specific. So I think that's a better way to find really valuable and good information online.
Yeah, I think it's really important to filter like A, the good from the bad, but also the good that might be good for someone else and the good that's good for you. Because even the good stuff, it's not all going to be helpful because of what you're trying to achieve or your personality. Because if you're the face of your business and you have to communicate in a way that doesn't feel false or fake, then so yeah,
That's a good point.
there's a lot out there. And yeah, I think it's just about being mindful what you consume. And if anyone says like, this is the only way to do it, this is the, yeah, I just think, well, no,
No, I don't think so.
it's like a sales technique, but I think there are many ways to do things, and some of them are definitely not going to work, but some of them are just better for some people than others.
Yes.
So your business, like the initial idea that you had for when you started your business, is that has that stayed the same, or have you, I mean, you've added helping other translators as you've become more experienced, but would you say your business has changed a lot since the beginning?
Yes. So I started my translation business because I wanted to do something I enjoy and have the freedom to control my own schedule. I always loved languages. So after moving to the US, I saw an opportunity because a lot of people needed help with translation services, especially in my field. And when I think about how my business has changed over time, well, having a business means that we always have to try new things, right? So I ask myself, how can I work faster? How can I be more efficient without losing quality? And when I started getting more and more clients, I had to find new ways to work smarter. So that's when I began using new tools like Asana, Adobe, Photoshop, Canva, and that helped me stay organized and save time without losing quality. So yes, I'm always looking for new ways to change and improve my business.
So how did you do all that on your own, or are you also connected with other professionals working in the same industry, in the same field?
Yes, I learned that well, research when I was looking on the internet, and I also follow others translators that have more experience than I do. And that's how I find these tools. And then I start using them. And it really changed the way I was doing business.
And did you find some you didn't like? I'm not asking you to name them, but did you like everything you tried, or did you have to invest a bit of time in the beginning to think, okay, I like
Oh.
this one not so much, and
Yes, you have to invest some time because there are so many apps and so many tools and options. But I think it you become more product you are more productive after you find the right tools. So I like to do that. I try to invest some time, do some research, and then what works for me, okay, perfect. I know that in the future it's gonna make me more productive and I'm gonna save time. So I try to do that at the beginning, and I don't mind doing that because I know that after a few weeks I'm gonna save more time and my work is probably even better because I'm working faster and more efficient.
yeah, and you have the more time for other things, like for
Yes.
either more work or other things that you want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
So how old is your newsletter then? Because I really kind of came across you via your newsletter, but I don't know how long it's been going. When did you start the newsletter?
Yeah, it's I started last July, so it's gonna be 1 year old next month.
Okay.
Yeah. We need to celebrate for that.
Yeah, totally. Have a 1 year celebration.
Yes.
And how, like, were you thinking about that for a while, or did you suddenly wake up one day and say, right, I'm gonna do a newsletter now? Like, how, what was the process for that?
Yeah. Well, when I started my translation business, I noticed that the industry didn't have a lot of information about how to be a better translator or how to grow your business and offer your services. And that's why I started my newsletter, to share my journey and the tips that work for me with other people. So for anyone listening to this episode, if you're new to the translation industry and if you want useful advice on how to succeed as a translator, what to do or what to avoid, I invite you to subscribe to my newsletter. It's full of really good information that is going to help you reach your goals.
Yeah, we'll put the link to the newsletter on the show
Yes.
notes page for this episode, and then you can go through straight to there, and I'll put your LinkedIn link on as well so people can find you. And so what made you decide to do the newsletter in English?
Well, I usually I think there was a void in the translation business in English, and there is also in Spanish too. And that's why, but I decided to do it in English because my audience is mostly in English. My clients, they usually speak English and they call me and we speak in English. So I decided to do it in English because of that.
Yeah, so your presence online on LinkedIn is in
Yes.
English, so you wanted
Yes.
your newsletter to be as well.
Yes.
And what kind of feedback do you get from the translators, from the subscribers? Do you find that more people are finding out about your work through the newsletter? Do they?
Yes, even clients. Sometimes I get clients, oh, I saw your newsletters on LinkedIn and I wanted to contact you and see if you can work on this project. So, wow, yeah, I've seen a lot of it's been growing, the newsletter, it's been growing and getting a lot of support. And I'm really thankful for that. But I wasn't expecting to find clients because of the newsletter. So that was a surprise, a good surprise. And but yeah, I've been receiving translators are usually texting me because of the newsletter, and some colleagues usually send me clients because of the newsletter. And clients, they sometimes read the articles and then they contact me because of the newsletter. So yeah, having a newsletter is has been a really good thing for my business.
Yeah, and I think that's something for other people to think about as well. Like your newsletter base, it's not tied to one platform. So if anything happens, or if you change your mind about a specific platform, if you have a newsletter too, then that's like people who are directly connected to you. So that's a way to, it takes some time to build. But yeah, and as you say, it's not always the reasons why you think people are signing up to learn and to get the tips, but it can also lead to other things, like I've had with the podcast. Some of the good things that have come from the podcast were not the reason I originally set it up, but you never know. It's connections with people, and they can lead to good things. So we're talking about growth and the need to keep growing as a business owner, and you mentioned trying new things, like doing new things, and we just on the podcast had an episode about that. How you can learn from doing new things. What else has led to growth for you? So trying new things, but what else would you say has helped you to develop your business?
For me, growing as a business owner means that we need to keep learning and trying new things, as you said. Sometimes I know it can be scary, and that's okay. Because leaving our comfort zone means doing things that feel scary, like networking or even being on a podcast like this one. But every time we do it, we get stronger and more confident. So yeah, keep learning and trying new things, even if it's just a little bit at a time. And for this topic, I would like to recommend a book that is called Good Power by Ginni Rometty. She's the former CEO of IBM. And that book is perfect for anyone growing as a business owner because it shows how to be a strong leader while using power in a good way to help other people. So I highly recommend that book when it comes to growing.
Okay, and I'll put the link for that on the episodes page as well, because I haven't heard of that book. And maybe it would be interesting for the listeners as well to have a look at the book. Because yeah, we need to keep growing, otherwise we either stop moving or we stop learning, or nothing happens, but keep learning.
Jeannie, she also shares a really good quote. She says, growth and comfort do not coexist, which is true. And because growing often comes with discomfort. But yeah, we need to face those fears and to try to grow.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about my clients, because I provide language support for people with their own businesses in English, and sometimes being more visible means using an additional language, maybe for people who wouldn't normally do it, especially if they're offering services like translation or some kind of written service where the focus is really on the written word, and then suddenly they have to, I don't know, go and speak somewhere or be on a podcast. That may not be your experience, but do you have any tips that you could like specifically for using an additional language and being out of your comfort zone? Maybe you've come across people in a similar situation. Do you have any tips that could help there?
Well, I will just say to do it. If you're scared, that's fine. But I think I really love this topic because when we want to leave our comfort zone, we have to fight against our brain. So our brains are wired to keep us safe and they don't like changes. For example, I used to do everything by email at work because I didn't feel comfortable talking on the phone with clients. We often work alone as translators, and we don't do too much talking. But then I realized, okay, this is a challenge that I need to face. So I started answering the phone, and now I feel more confident when people call me. So using my second language helped me with all of this, not just in my work, but also as a person. And now I trust myself more. I try to take more chances and connect with more people in new ways. So I would just say, go for it, do it, even if it feels scary sometimes, but you can do it. And then after you face that fears in English or in Spanish or in any language, you're gonna feel way more confident.
Yeah, I like that and I agree because I before I started working with German, I was involved in a volunteering project because I wanted to work on my German skills. It's probably like, oh, 12, 15 years ago, maybe no, probably closer to 20. But and I was the same. We did a lot by email and messages at that time, but I also avoided speaking with anyone, and then people thought that I was like someone else. I was like, was it really Kirsty
Oh,
writing the
really?
emails? It was me, but I was just so shy when it came to speak. Now I'm not, but I think you can. I think sometimes we can, when we are working for ourselves or freelancers, we can avoid some of the things that people in a company wouldn't be able to avoid. Like if you're part of your role is you have to go and speak with this client now, and that's what you've been asked to do,
Yes.
then you kind of have to go and do it if you work for a company. But you can always find reasons not to, or we can because
Yes.
we're freelancers or self-employed. So I think sometimes for us, we need to be a little bit more disciplined and a bit more challenging for ourselves, because otherwise it's too easy to avoid those things that we don't really want to do, but that could bring really good benefits and opportunities for growth.
And what did you do to start talking in to your clients in German? Or, do you have any tips?
For me, talking with the clients wasn't so much the problem. So when I was working for the volunteering project, it was just I started small. So instead of like speaking in front of the big meeting with everyone there, I asked to speak to one or two people individually that I trusted and were nice people. And then when I felt more comfortable doing that, I went to a slightly bigger group. And then so
Oh,
I
that's a
built
good.
up. Don't try and
Yeah.
do the hardest thing first. Like find someone nice who's going to make it really easy for you, and then maybe two people, and then build up like that. More recently, I decided to start running networking in German. So now I regularly talk with clients. So that wasn't the problem, but I hadn't done my own events in German before, and that was a bit. And then the tip is tell someone you're going to do it, because then it's like out there in the world. It's real if you've told someone. Preferably someone who's going to encourage you. And also maybe for the first time, if it's something like an event, or if you want to speak at an event, have someone there that will you can focus on, like you know they want you to succeed, or if you're running an event, maybe they would, if you ask, does anyone have anything to share? Then you know there's going to be one person at least who will help you, and not like everyone's just looking at you like, no, nothing to share here. So find some people that might make it easier, because like we work alone a lot of the time, but we're not on our own, because there are people out there that can help and support. So I think don't feel you have to do everything alone.
Well, that's a really good advice. I like how you say it, to start small and then from there, go to a bigger group and then to a conference. So I like that one.
Yeah, build up. So, because you can like break it down, like we said in we had a recent episode about this, I break it down into steps because then the next step is not as far as like the top of the mountain,
Yeah,
wherever you're
it's going
trying
to
to
be
go.
easier.
Yeah. And I saw on one of your posts that you've been traveling recently. Is that something new, or have you always enjoyed traveling with your work?
Oh no, I love traveling. In fact, one of the reasons that I started being a freelancer is because I wanted to control my own schedule to travel or being a digital nomad. So we have some plans to do that probably next year, because I would like to go to different countries and experience the culture, learn new languages, meet new people, do some networking and meet colleagues. So yeah, it's a big part of one of my goals for next year. Hopefully I can do it.
Sounds like
And
fun.
yeah. Traveling is, I love traveling. You learn so much when you travel and meet new people.
Which language is top of your languages to learn or improve list?
I've been trying French, but it's hard, especially the pronunciation. It's been hard, but I would like to, improve it and find a good teacher who can teach me a pronunciation, phonetics, and all of that. And if I can do that in France, oh, that will be perfect.
Yeah, I know a couple of French teachers, so maybe I can put you in touch.
Oh,
Or
okay.
we have the language meetup too. So if you or anyone who is interested in language, working with language, wants to come along, you don't have to look for language exchanges, but they can arise. You know, like we're all sharing our language journeys, and then sometimes there are people with language pairs that make sense to do a language exchange. So that's usually the last week of the month for the meetup. So yeah, if you or anyone wants to come along, because I think it's for me learning other languages. Yeah, okay, I do use a couple of them in my business now, and I don't teach other languages, but I use them as like bridge languages with clients. And I think that's really important. But for me as a learner, one of the most important parts of it is the people and the people contact. And if it was only just passive activities without the people, I don't think it would have as big an appeal for me
Oh,
as
yeah.
knowing that my friends are around and yeah, people are important.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's important. Yeah.
So what was some of the What advice would you give? So sometimes when I do the networking, I have people come who are just starting out on their journey, and I know that your newsletter is based around this topic and a broader topic. But like if you had to give one or two pieces of advice to people in this situation, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I think I've been thinking a lot about that lately. And I think my best advice for anyone who is starting on social media or a newsletter or anything is to be consistent. Consistency is key for everything we do. We can start something and probably, okay, we don't see the results, positive results yet. But if you're consistent and you show up every day or every week, depending on what you're doing, you're gonna see positive results. I can assure people that. So yes, consistency is my number one advice for anyone who is a business owner or for translators, to have consistency in everything we do.
I really like that because you don't always get the feedback. And sometimes people are watching or reading or listening, depending on what kind of content you're creating. I remember I contacted someone about being a podcast guest and said, "Oh, you probably have no idea who I am, but," and she's like, "I know who you are. I've seen your stuff on LinkedIn." Oh, okay. That's good then. You don't know who is, the content is kind of working for you. It doesn't mean it's not measurable in the likes. I mean, everyone likes and comments and shares, and they're great, but at the same time, it's also working for you when you don't see anything and people are still reading or listening and
Yes.
taking notice of the content.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So do you have any plans that you want to share that you feel comfortable sharing, like either for the newsletter or for the business? I know there's the traveling that's going to be a big adventure. Do you have any other plans or?
Well, for now, no. I want to find more clients for my business and to keep growing. And I would like to my newsletter probably. I do a lot of collaborations with other translators, with colleagues, and that's been working great. People are us translators are usually texting me. Oh, that's. To bring, I like to bring new perspective to my newsletter. So that's why I try to do that every month, once a month, at least once a month. And it's been working great. So probably I'm gonna start doing something else with that, trying to collaborate with more colleagues, probably making videos, or I'm not really sure right now, but I would like to expand that idea and think about it and have a strategy to do that. Next year, probably next year. Yeah.
No, watch this space. But yeah, I think that's really nice because I saw the one of the recent newsletters was an interview. And I think that's good as well to learn for me, who as somebody who wants to learn more about the language industry anyway, because that's where a lot of my clients are working. So for me it makes sense, but also for people working directly in the industry who maybe want to find out about a different role, either because they want to look at doing that role or because they want to understand what people in that role do with their day. I think
Yes.
that's a really nice idea that you've included that in your newsletter so that people can learn a bit more about each other and the work, the
Yes.
other parts of the industry, that
Yeah.
how it all fits together.
Yeah, no, yeah. I even learn a lot from other people because so I like to bring people or colleagues who are experts in topics where I usually don't know that much. So to bring, you know, that the new perspective. So yeah, I'm learning a lot, and I know a lot of colleagues are telling me that they're really happy with those collaborations too. So yeah, I would like to do more with that in the future.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I guess it's like with the podcast, I get to talk to people that I otherwise wouldn't have the chance to have a conversation with them, maybe, or to find out things, and then the listeners benefit as well, and your readers do too. So you learn something, they learn something. It's win-win.
Yeah. It's a win-win. Yeah. You're right.
So where's the best place? I guess LinkedIn and your newsletter, but if people want to follow your work or contact you, are they the best two places, or are you anywhere else as well?
Yeah. Well, the best place to find me online will be LinkedIn. Just search for Kimberly Martinez. You can also visit my website, brighttranslation.com, to learn more about what I do. Well, yeah, and I also have my newsletter that is called Kim's Newsletter. I didn't send the name before, and you can find it on Substack.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So there's three places, and we will add these links to the show notes page as well as the link to the book so that people can find that as well. So thank you for your time and your tips. It's been really good
Thank
getting
you,
to know
Kirsty.
you.
No, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been great. And yeah, have a wonderful day.
You too.